Amen. Please be seated. Morning, everybody. God's speaking already, isn't he? I hope we're listening. You know, when Elijah appeared before the Lord in the cleft of the rock, it says that, first there was a whirlwind, and then there was an earthquake, and then there was fire, and then there was the gentle breeze. You know, would you rather God spoke to you in the whirlwind, or the earthquake, or the fire, or the gentle breeze? I think we'd prefer the gentle breeze, wouldn't we? The still small voice. But sometimes, I think C.S. Lewis said, didn't he? Pain is God's megaphone. Sometimes God has to get us to the place, you know, pain, to listen. So God's speaking. I hope you're listening. Can I start, first of all, by taking the opportunity to just publicly thank everybody for, I'm kind of upset now, for your prayers the last 3 months. They've been most appreciated. Sue and I just got back from holiday, and we booked this holiday a few weeks before I found out I had to go into hospital, so we had to cancel it. And I had the operation, and I recovered so well that we were able to book the holiday again, rebook it. Same holiday, same hotel, same dates, and the Lord gave us a discount. Isn't God good? Praise him, praise God. Okay, would you turn with me to John chapter 4? And we're going to read this story of the woman at the well, the woman from Samaria. our theme this season has been about renewal, hasn't it? And we've been looking at personal renewal, you know, our own relationship with God. We've been looking at community renewal, our relationship with one another. And we want to look at missional renewal, which is all about reaching out to the lost out there. You know, Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, he has anointed you, you know, to preach good news." And then it lists, doesn't it, the captives, the brokenhearted, the downcast, the prisoners. God's heart is for the lost, isn't it? And God wants us to have his heart. So let's have a look at this passage. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 29. I want to read the whole, more or less the whole story, so be patient with me. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' She said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw.' He said to her, 'Go, call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Excuse me. And you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, What do you seek, or why do you speak with her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? Let me just pray. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that I'll be able to convey, Lord, the spirit of this message, Lord, and not the letter. Lord, I just ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit now, and that, Lord, you would take, Father, the words I've prepared, Lord, but you would speak to us, speak to our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. I wish I could take this passage and take four or five keys from it and give you a program as to how to get someone saved. But it doesn't work like that, does it? It's not quite as simple as that. You know, we don't know where the wind comes from or where it goes, and so it is with the Spirit. And we don't really understand why, you know, some people are saved just like that. I mean, for me, it took 36 years for God to get hold of me, you know, and open my eyes and open my heart and reveal himself to me. And many of us here have been praying for loved ones, family and friends who are unsaved, you know. And it's taken years, hasn't it? And many of them don't seem to know or even care, or and they're getting closer to eternity. But we can't put God in a box, can we? We can't put God in a program, you know. What I do know is that God desires that all men should be saved. And I do know too that God's made it possible that all can be saved. And I don't understand how, but I know that God is completely just and fair, and therefore he must give everybody an equal opportunity to be saved. I don't know how he does that, but I believe that's what he does. So it's God's heart, isn't it, to reach the lost. And he wants to do it through us, doesn't he? And there's two things that jump out from this passage to me. You know, the first one is the wonderful spontaneity of God, of the Holy Spirit. You know, for this woman, you know, she'd lived most of her life and she'd messed it up, I guess, you know. She hadn't worked out the way she'd perhaps hoped or planned. Here she was at this point in her life, and I guess she probably thought, you know, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles, and, you know, you just have to accept it and live with it and get on with it. And I think that's probably where she was at. So for her, you know, in the words of Eleanor Rigby, it was just another day, wasn't it? It was just another day for her. But for God, it was a very special day. Now is the time, you know. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. And God had, didn't he, for her, a divine appointment at the well. And, you know, God of the breakthrough was about to break through into her life, and her life would never be the same again. Because she had an encounter, didn't she, with Jesus Christ at the well. I don't know whether you can remember your first encounter with Jesus at your well, when God first started to reveal himself, you know. But that's what happened to this woman. You know, It says that in Psalm 18, he sent from on high. You know, he saw me, he drew me, he rescued me, you know. He sent from above, he sent from on high. And that's what happened with this woman, with her unexpected and divine appointment. Because God is a spontaneous God, isn't he? The Holy Spirit is spontaneous. And we need to be available to the Lord, don't we? On a daily basis, you know, we need to have that expectancy of having an encounter with the Holy Spirit, you know, and God doing something through us with others. There are many here who will tell you of daily encounters like that, you know, John Elms, Ernie Williams, Alan Crichton, Glennis, I don't know, a whole list. We're all, you know, we all know what it is, don't we, to be in the Spirit and for God to move, and it's exciting, isn't it? But we just need to be available, don't we? We need to be expectant, just on a daily basis, you know, just another day. But not for some people, because God's going to move. The second thing that struck me about this passage was just the sheer joy and excitement of the woman. You know, she was absolutely overjoyed, wasn't she? Within 5 minutes of meeting Jesus, you know, the whole town knew. She couldn't contain herself, you know. She just, in the words of Don Francisco, do you know that song? You've got to tell somebody, you've got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. You know, she just could not contain it, you know. She was absolutely bursting to tell people. She was so excited and so overjoyed. And Jesus hadn't prayed for her, hadn't healed her, hadn't given her a tract, hadn't invited her to a meeting or an alpha, you know. She just had an encounter, a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, you know. And we need to have that excitement ourselves, don't we? We need to have that joy, you know, of our first love. You know, we don't want to lose that, do we? Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the well of salvation. You know, we need to be in that place where we're drawing from the very water, the well that Jesus spoke of here, you know, and the water of life. Just a little exercise. I'm not going to ask anyone to come out or embarrass anyone, but if you came to know the Lord sometime in the last 3 years, can you stand up? If you come to know the Lord sometime in the last 3 years, can you stand up? I'll have to make it 4 years the way we're going. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's many more, actually, who aren't here this morning. But these people are our best evangelists, aren't they? You know, when it's fresh and exciting and new and you're bursting. Were you like that? Running around, I must have bored people to death, you know, telling everybody, you know, I was ready all the time, you know, with a testimony or challenging people or whatever. You know, we need to be in that place. We don't want to lose that. So I can't give you, you know, 5 keys to leading people to Christ, you know, but what I want to do this morning is take a closer look at this woman. I want us to get to know this woman. I want us to get to see her as God saw her. And I want us to have God's heart for her. Because it's significant, isn't it, that she had no name. And the reason why she has no name, her name's not mentioned, is that it can be anybody, can't it? God desires all men to be saved, you know. It could be anybody. And so I want us to see her as God saw her. And I want us to have God's heart for her. Because that's the key, isn't it? To reaching out is seeing people as God sees them, not as we see them, you know, and you know, having God's heart for them, getting connected with God, the Holy Spirit, and getting God's heart for them is the key, you know, to reaching out to others. And I want to do that by looking at two other women in the Bible who had a divine encounter at the well. And I want to start with Rebecca in Genesis 24. And I haven't got time to read the whole story. I'm just going to read from verses 12 to 16. But give you the background to the story. Abraham's son of the promise was Isaac. And when Abraham was old, he wanted Isaac to find a wife, but he didn't want him to marry a wife from the Canaanites. He wanted him to find a wife from his own country, from Israel. So he sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. And this story is a beautiful love story. It really is a wonderful love story. You know, anyone ever read Derek Prince's God is a Matchmaker? Hands up. Nobody. Oh, there you are. God is a Matchmaker. And God brings about this marriage between Isaac and Rebecca. The servant goes out and prays that God will guide him and direct him to find the wife that God has for Isaac. And we'll read from verse 12. And he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And by this I shall know that thou hast shown loving kindness to thy master. And it came about, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abram's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. And the girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. This is a beautiful love story. If ever a marriage was made in heaven, this was it. Isaac, the son of the promise, and Rebekah, who was to become literally the mother of Israel. You know, this was God's divine appointment for Rebekah at the well. And she was, it says, a young and beautiful virgin. What a contrast to our woman at the well in Samaria. She'd been married, it said, 5 times and was now living in sin with another. What a contrast between this appointment, this marriage, you know, and the woman we're talking about this morning. But you know, there was a time when this woman was young and would have the beauty of youth and was a virgin. And I don't know whether she consulted the Lord when she met her first husband. Probably not. But I do know that she would have had all her hopes and dreams in front of her. And when she got married. And whatever happened, it didn't work out, you know, and her marriage failed. She would have been completely devastated. And in those times, in that time, in that culture, there would have been a deep sense of shame as well, wouldn't there? And then when she gets married for the second time, I'm sure there were still some hopes and dreams that maybe this time it'll be better. Maybe now we'll learn from my mistakes. And of course, that marriage failed. And the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. Can you imagine, you know, how that woman felt at that time? Can you see the contrast there is between the two women and the two stories? But we need to remember when we meet people that everybody has a story. This woman has no name. She could be anybody. Everybody has a story. You know, everyone has their unique journey in life, doesn't they? You know, sometimes we judge people by how we see them when we meet them. And then when we get to know what they've been through, it can completely change our attitude towards them. We need to remember, whether we know their story or not, we need to remember everybody has a story. And we live in a fallen world, don't we? So it's full of pain and heartache and grief and sorrow. you know. And after five marriages, failed marriages, this woman would have been full of guilt and shame and regret and disappointment and despair. That's where she was at when she met Jesus. So that's our first woman. The second encounter I want to look at is in Genesis 16. And this is the story of Hagar. And I'm sure you know the story, but again, I'll just give you the background because I haven't got time to read all the story. But Abraham and Sarah had been promised a son, and God hadn't delivered on his promise, so they decided he wasn't going to, and they were going to give him a helping hand. And so Sarah arranged for Hagar, her maid, to be given to Abraham as a wife, and she became pregnant, and that's where she is in this story. She became pregnant, but things didn't work out the way they planned. Never does when you try and do things in your own strength or in the flesh. And things didn't work out between Hagar and Sarah. And Hagar ran away. And this is where we find her in this passage. So I'm going to read from verse 7 and just read to verse 14. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water or a well in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. You know, quite often, we run away from situations, won't we? Run away from relationships or situations. And very often, not always, but very often, God will send us back to where we ran away from to put things right and to get the victory in that place, you know? But not always. There are times, you know, particularly in an abusive relationship, where it might be right to come apart, come out and be separated. But more often than not, when we run away from things, God takes us back to deal with us and get the victory in that. So the angel of the Lord said to return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that there should be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child and you shall bear a son and you shall call his name Ishmael. And Ishmael means God hears. I want you to remember that. God hears. That's what Sue Thomas gave out earlier, you know. God hears our cry, you know. So she was to call his name Ishmael, which means God hears, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction, and he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, thou art a God who sees. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Therefore the well was called, don't know what my Hebrew pronunciation is going to be like, but Be'er Lahai Roai. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Be'er Lahai Roai means the well of the living one who sees me. I think that's wonderful. I think that's beautiful. You know, Hagar, who was second best, second rate, you know, of the flesh, in the wilderness, desperate, nowhere to turn, and just like the woman from Samaria, she had a divine encounter at the well, and she called the well of the living one who sees me. I think that's wonderful. You know, when God speaks to us, when we're in situations and God sends his word, it's absolutely liberating because we know he sees us. We know he sees us. And when we say we know he sees us, if we know God sees us, at the same time, we know he knows. We know he knows, and that's so comforting that God's there, that God knows. Because we know too that he cares. That's what came out in the word this morning. He cares. He hears your cry. He cares. And we know that he loves us. I can't explain how that all fits together, but you know that's true, isn't it? You know yourself that's true. When you know God sees you, sees your situation, understands, accepts, doesn't judge, loves you. That is totally liberating. Let's go back to our woman from Samaria at the well. That's why she was so excited. You know, she met with Jesus at the well and she knew that he saw her. What I mean by that is he saw her life. He saw her first divorce, her second divorce, her third. She knew he was there. All the time he was there. She knew he understood. It was all there in a moment, in an instant. You know, God knows, God cares, God's real, God sees me. I'm not alone, you know. It was just so liberating. But that's why she couldn't contain herself. Come, see a man who told me all I'd ever done. Is this not the Christ? That's the experience of salvation, isn't it? That is the overwhelming, utterly joy of our salvation. To know God knows, God sees, and God loves, and God is able. God is able to deliver. The well of the living one who sees me. Ishmael means God hears. This is very important this morning because God's spoken already. God hears, you know. And later on, we haven't got time to look at that story, but later on, years later, Hagar was sent away with her son Ishmael. It says in Galatians, if you read the story, doesn't it? The son of the flesh will not inherit, but the son of the spirit, Isaac, was the son of the spirit, you know. Ishmael was the son of the flesh, but Ishmael was called God hears. And she found herself in the wilderness again, astonishingly, by a well, you know. We haven't got time to look at the story. And God appeared to her again. And God said, it's quite remarkable this. God didn't say, I heard your cry. God said, I heard the cry of the lad. I heard the cry of the boy. God hears. That was his name. Ishmael, the way of the flesh, the way of our mistakes, of our mess, you know, of our walking without God. God hears. See, there's no partiality with God. You know, Isaac, I haven't got time to go over this one really, but when Isaac actually met Rebecca, his servant met Rebecca at the well and brought her back to meet Isaac. It said Isaac was in the field and Rebecca was coming, approaching. It says that Isaac was, if you read it, at Be'er Lahai Roi. That's where he was. He was at the well of the living one who sees him. The same God who saw the son of the promise, who was totally blessed, you know, saw Ishmael, the son of the flesh, saw this woman of Samaria. Isn't that fantastic? God sees. You know, we need to see people as God sees them. We need to remember, don't we, that everyone has a story, whether we know it or not. Everyone's on a journey and a story, and God knows. We need to connect with the Holy Spirit and just be available because God's going to do it. We're not going to do it. I can't give you a 5-part plan or whatever that works. I don't know how it works, you know, but I know it works. God works. It's God's heart, isn't it? God wants to give us his heart for others. There's a lot of hurting, lost people out there. It's getting worse, isn't it? People are getting more lost. There just doesn't seem to be any sense of God and therefore any hope. You know, people just lost in the world, aren't they? And we are God's hands and feet and mouth and eyes, you know, to connect with people. I'm going to close shortly in the next few minutes, but I just want to mention that this story of the woman from Samaria, the woman at the well, is sandwiched between two other passages. If you look at John chapter 3, it's the clearest explanation of the gospel in the whole Bible. You don't have to read anything else, just read John chapter 3. You know, it's the story of Nicodemus and being born again. And, you know, it tells us that it isn't about intellect. You know, this woman at the well, she tried to be clever, didn't she, when Jesus challenged her about her life. She said, well, you know, our fathers say we should worship on this mountain. What do you think? You know, she was throwing up a theological smokescreen to try and divert attention from her. And Jesus brought her right back to who he was. You know, we need to bring people back to Jesus all the time, back to choice. You know, so with Nicodemus, it wasn't about intellect or knowledge, was it? It wasn't about religion or position, was it? God desires all men to be saved. And it says, doesn't it, in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the message. We need to bring people to Jesus, don't we? To the message of Jesus. So that's the passage that's before this story of the woman from the well. And the passage after it, at the end of this chapter 4, is about the fields are white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers. Well, you can't get clearer than that, can you? That's your commission, isn't it? The fields are white unto harvest. If ever they were white unto harvest, it's today, isn't it? People are lost. People need to hear the gospel. Let's pray and close. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you first of all, Father, for our salvation, Lord. Lord, that you sent from on high, Lord, and you saw us, Lord, in the howling waste of a wilderness, Lord, and you sent for us, Lord, and you rescued us, and you delivered us from our strong enemy, Lord, and you set us in a broad place, Lord, in a safe place, Lord. And Lord, we just don't want to take lightly or for granted, Lord, your grace and mercy, Lord, and, Lord, your salvation. But Lord, you want us to be your hands and feet, Lord, and Father, you want us to be labourers, Father, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'd give us a heart for others, Lord, that you'd help us to see others, Lord, as you see them, that you'll give us Holy Spirit discernment, Lord God, sensitivity, Lord, Father, Lord, your wonderful counselor, Lord, you're the one called alongside, Lord, and Lord, we just pray that we would be available to you, Lord, on a daily basis, Lord, in our comings and goings, Lord, that you would give us divine appointments, Father. Lord Jesus, Lord, give us your heart for others, Lord. Give us your compassion, Lord. And Father, rekindle too, Lord, the joy of our salvation. Lord Jesus, Lord, our faith and confidence in you, Lord. Lord, thank you this morning, Father, Lord, for your grace towards us, Lord. But Lord, we want to, Father, see this community, Lord, Father, saved, Lord God. We want to make a difference, Lord. Lord, forgive us, Lord, as a church where we just, Father, retreat into our safe tower, Lord. Pull up the drawbridge, Lord. Father, help us to go forth, Lord, break forth, Lord, God of the breakthrough, Lord. Pray you break through afresh into our hearts and lives, Lord, into our church, Lord God, into the body here, Lord. Pray you break out, Lord, that we wouldn't be able to contain you, Lord God, that would be such joy and excitement and expectancy in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Okay, I'm not sure what the arrangements are for the lunch and things. We're having tea and coffee. And then, do people know what to do? We just make the... Okay, at 1 o'clock we're making our way down. Good.